Hey, this is Kieran on the regular laptop microphone, which might be okay, might not be. I'm not entirely certain. Anyway, we are unlocking this episode of Only Mr. God Knows for this Monday because it is the week of Girovision. Tickets still on sale, about half of them are gone. Last time I checked, it'll be in Film Archa at 8 p.m. in Berlin. More information can be found in the links in the episode description. Tickets are still on sale. If you can't come in Berlin, we've got twitch.tv/cornerspady, and we will be live on that. And I just thought I'd record this little message because we're unlocking the episode with Chris, because Chris is always great to have on every year for our annual Eurovision discussion. And there will be another Only Mr. God Knows this Thursday, which I'll probably also put on the main feed because, hey, it's Eurovision week. Fuck it. There are no rules. I make the rules. Hello and welcome to Only Mr. God Knows 2026, episode 2. We are here with our annual guest, Chris Wade, to check in on America. How's America doing?
Well, how much time you got?
Of course, it is Only Mr. God Knows, the extended promotion for Eurovision, where I ask people to give me their opinions of this year's crop of Eurovision songs. I'm going to say up front, Chris, the vibes over here are rancid.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I want to talk about all of this. Hello, I'm very grateful to be back. This is one of my favorite annual podcast appearances. I love getting this exposure to Eurovision. I love getting my annual patch updates for my various cultural and ethnic prejudices against various types of Europeans through a single pop song. And yeah, I just want to assure your listeners that I take this very seriously. I watched every single one of the submission videos yesterday, and not just the 17-minute supercut. I tapped into the full-length videos. I spent about 2 hours last night watching Eurovision videos and taking notes on them. So I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready to go.
Hell yeah. I am Man, we can get into it. I'm gonna set some scenes to you here because I do love that this is your annual exposure to,
The entirety of European culture.
Asia's most arrogant subcontinent. The And I love it. It's kind of like being explained like this continent to you via like Plato's caves.
Yes,
Like
exactly.
it
It's all shapes and forms.
Yeah. The context over here is that there was this huge conference with the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union, in God, was that? That was November last year, where basically the EBU pulled a little cheeky move and said, we're going to have two votes. One is we're going to improve voting rules because we're not going to say it out loud, but Israel's been cooking the televote for the last 2 years.
Wow,
And
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely I could not be more surprised that something like that might be going on, especially regarding that specific country.
Oh, absolutely. What? The cyber warfare country has
Yes.
intervened with probably the cheapest built app, the Eurovision voting app. Okay, so there's that. We're improving the voting rules, and the second vote is, as per request of Spain and Slovenia, we're going to have a vote about whether Israel gets kicked out or not. Fun caveat, though, if you vote yes for the first vote, we won't have the second vote.
Okay. So and that was the EBU making that okay. So kind of rigging it there. So you can either have a fair Eurovision or you get to like okay.
Well, it's like there's four options. It's like yes, no, yes, no,
They're
yes.
setting up a little bit of a prisoner's dilemma there.
Because it was like, what if the vote against Israel doesn't go our way? And we just end
Yes,
up with an
then we
unfair.
don't get the then we then they rig it anyway. So yeah. And can you
So
really count on whatever it is, 37 plus European countries to go the way the two brave European countries go?
well, like this was the thing. It was meant to be like was high hopes because it was meant to be a secret ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant that like the broadcasters could have done this and then say like, oh, I voted to keep them in. I don't know what happened. But they wouldn't, like, they'd have no concrete proof.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, you're talking about like the German national broadcaster, the Austrian national broadcaster
having to like come out and say straight up, we want Israel out of this thing.
Yeah, they were never going to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
The head of the Austrian national broadcaster went and visited fucking Herzog like as this vote was happening.
I mean, and the real disappointing thing about this whole thing, I mean, this is getting way ahead, is that the Israeli song on this is too mid to even be offensive. You know,
oh,
like last year you said they had that whole backstory of it. It initially was like a very, very much like an October 7th related song, or maybe that was like 2 years ago.
It was immediately after. Yeah.
And then they like changed it. But this, you know, considering the whole Israel fuckery of this whole thing, I'm like, I'm watching this and I'm like, I'm forgetting it like as I'm watching it.
Yeah. So as a consequence of this, five countries have just straight up pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Spain, Slovenia, Ireland, Iceland, and the Netherlands. So they're not in it anymore, which is a big deal, even though they're ignoring this because...
Didn't Netherlands win one of the last 2 years?
No, Netherlands sent, if you remember, Joost Klein's Europapa.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then... Because he was singing a song about how he was orphaned at the age of 12, he had this whole thing in his rider of like, please no one come up to me after I've done my performance.
Mm-hmm.
And the Israelis decided their whole thing backstage was going to be harass any performer who said that maybe Israel shouldn't be here. He got kicked out of the competition because he basically did the like, oh, you're starting with me gesture to like a photographer. And the Netherlands are out of the competition less to do with solidarity with the Palestinian people and more to do with like personal grievances.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Cause that like, they're like, that song could have won kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a whole fucking mess. Spain is one of the biggest like financiers of this whole competition and they're just kind of pretending it's fine. They're gone.
I'm not super tapped into European politics, but Spain's developing hard line against Israel, against the Iran action, seems to put them in some of the most, I mean, I don't know what you would call it, progressive anti-Anglo-Israeli like camp in the Euro sphere, which of course everyone in my, you know, social political sphere in America finds extremely admirable. So thank you, Spain.
Yeah.
We will continue sending our digital nomads to Barcelona. Thank you very much.
That pisses off the Barcelonans. But anyway, and Pedro Sanchez gets on like a house on fire with Xi Jinping. So like he's definitely like
wonderful.
Carving the path.
I welcome our Sino-Hispano future.
Absolutely. I do want to shout out for any American listeners tuning in. Slovenia is the underdog. Slovenia is the one that like always pushes for this first, and they were the one who pushed for the vote. They're the ones who first suggested the boycott or like pulling out. They're the first one now to say we're not going to air it. We're going to put on a Palestinian documentary instead. But like it's Slovenia, it's like 10,000 people, and the most famous one is Melania. So it's like,
yes,
no one knows about them.
Yes,
yeah. But anyway, those are the vibes. And
So, despite the overall tone of Eurovision songs, it sounds like no one's really having a good time going into this.
Oh no, absolutely! Like the fan community, which is what I've been like dependent on, to get like news and updates. Just like dead silent. I know a lot of like Eurovision themed influencers, creators are just like gone. They're just gone now. Like they're not coming back.
Interesting. I mean, do you find this whole rupture? Like, do you think this is going to have a long term effect on like the overall popularity of this? The kind of, you know, dip that you never really recover from?
Yes. And I'll give you the example I always think of, because it's always the comparison made, right? Whenever Eurovision's introduced to Americans, it's always like, has higher viewership than the Super Bowl, right? That's always the thing given. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But If I was in some sort of like quantum leap time travel situation and you dropped me into any American city the week of the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I would get context clues that the Super Bowl is coming
yes,
up.
Yes, the big game.
The big
you
game.
Know, you know that thing. You know that one of the most hilariously specific American things about the Super Bowl being one, arguably our single largest cross-cultural, like, monocultural event. Mm. And yet you are not allowed to in any official nomenclature that is not sanctioned by the NFL actually refer to the word Super Bowl for copyright reasons. You have to refer to it as the big game.
I've heard about this. Yes.
Yes. Which I find to be such a beautifully, particularly American thing of being like, we have one monocultural event that everyone is plugged into. No, you cannot talk about it unless you for corporate reasons.
That seems like quasi-religious.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's kind of like you cannot say the name of God or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Only our designated priests on ESPN and representatives of the NFL corporation.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, if you drop me into any American city the week of the big game, I would know it's happening.
Yes.
Eurovision has such a high viewership, but an incredibly casual viewership.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things I've found coming back to Ireland is I know of a lot of people in Ireland who, like, it's no one's talking about it here now that we've pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I know a lot of people who have stopped watching since 2019, mm-hmm. when Israel last hosted it. So it's just like, it's just, I think you miss it a couple of years in a row, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of things like that. I mean, you know, I think you can find a lot of, I mean, I can't think of anything specific, but that feels a lot like certain cultural and, you know, traditional institutions that decline, just losing 1 or 2 years via COVID or something like that. But truly, honestly, like, you know, it is one of these things now that, you know, any international institution that has like a deep link with Israel is just slowly feeling this poisonous rot.
Yeah.
That is either going to have to be dealt with or excised in some way, or else it is just going to become, or is becoming, or already has become completely toxic to the average person.
Yeah. There's the other, like, in a more quality sense as well. I mean, I'm happy to get your take on this, but we're now getting into the point of, like, the talent that volunteers for Eurovision is becoming a bit more self-selecting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you which country has sent a massive Zionist. That's not Israel. But then it's just this thing of like, Eurovision spent decades trying to professionalize itself.
Uh-huh.
And like, I think there was a kind of like a golden age there of like, weird Eurovision, Carrier's Cha-Cha-Cha was something that everyone was like really hyped for and seemed quite professional, and he's had a great career. And that might be gone now.
It might be more back to like weird amateurs who can't get a break in any other form of their country's music industry.
There was for a while in the early 2000s where they got rid of the juries, mm-hmm. and it was televote only, and it just really aggressively approached like X Factor pop idol territory very quickly.
I mean, I'll tell you, if we want to move into the stylistic takes from this year, I'll tell you, I mean, we've done this a few years now. You can probably guess which ones are my favorites from this.
Ooh. Do you know what? I don't think I can.
Okay.
I'm interested in, you've done the work now. I'm interested, how do you want to tackle this? Do you want to do like categories, alphabetical, least
favorite?
I mean,
I've got mine listed alphabetical. I've got basically a line on each. I'll say my universal takes. I love the sillier stuff.
Yeah.
And the stuff that like goes harder and is a little more maybe EDM influenced. I do find in the Euro pop strain, at least that I see from Eurovision, obviously there's kind of a one silo that's ballads and traditional stuff.
Yeah.
That's one. And then as far as the pop, more poppy upbeat music, they're kind of three strains that I see competing with each other. And one is the classic 21st century kind of Swedish influenced, you know, that the Euro reaction to, you know, what you might say like is NSYNC or Britney Spears production of the early 2000s, which is largely fading away, and that stuff sounds way old fashioned now. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of the mid 20, like maybe, you know, Obama era. I'm speaking as American. So whatever, like 2000 post great financial. How about this? How about post great financial crash era?
Yeah, there you go.
Like EDM influenced pop. That's, you know, I'm thinking maybe most exemplified by that that Major Lazer and Mo song, Somebody to Lean On.
Oh, sure.
You know, and that's kind of that EDM pop is kind of one strain. And now the thing that I'm seeing now is the K-pop influence. And that stuff, I think, sounds the most contemporary, and I think is marked most by having like eight different parts in a 2.5 minute song where the melody or like a hard, you know, beat and synth drop is happening every 20 seconds, then a chorus, then a pre-chorus, then suddenly they're speaking in a different language, and, you know, all with like a relentless hooky upbeatness.
Yeah.
So those are the creep of K-pop style is the new trend that I'm seeing this year.
That's fair. I would say, yeah, that has been slowly coming in the last couple of years. I think the big one for me that I'm noticing, one, there's like one entry in here which has brought back an old Eurovision style, which I haven't seen for about like, I want to say 5, maybe even 10 years. Which was Bond theme.
Yes. Oh my God. Did I write this down for the same thing? This was this Georgia, maybe? It was one of the Caucasus.
Oh, Azerbaijan, I think, had a Bond theme. Yes.
Yes. Azerbaijan, Jiva. I wrote Big Ballad, Adele, bad Bond theme.
Yes. Yeah. That was such a very common style for ages. And Azerbaijan's going to do bad because it's out of mode.
I would also say that song is boring.
Yes, yes. That's a common complaint. You have to have like huge stage presence and some serious pipes to really pull it off.
Well, I mean, the thing that you're aiming for is Adele's Skyfall, which works if you're fucking Adele and you've got a hook like Skyfall.
Yeah, yeah. I think the contemporary example of this that won in, God, was that 2014 or 2013? Was Conchita Wurst his song Rise Like a Phoenix, which
I can just picture this in my head.
Oh, absolutely. Like bearded drag queen. Mm-hmm. And also kind of a Austria is a deeply socially conservative place, fuck you for not giving me gay rights kind of song as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah. But the big creeping theme is for me is Popra.
Yes, yes. There were a few. And the funny thing is, like, there were at least two, maybe three, where I'm scrubbing through and I'm like, this is kind of a boring pop song. And then the last 30 seconds, they're like, oh, I'm actually an opera singer and can do, you know, like an aria in the last 30 seconds of this song.
Yeah. So the thing that's kind of stopped Israel for the last 2 years is the jury's kind of intervening. Mm-hmm. Because Israel is buying SIM cards, getting the Mossad cybersecurity unit to do some bullshit. And the juries are the only ones that like can't. They're like trying to steer this away, and what they've gone for 2 years in a row is contemporary-ish ballads done by like classically trained opera singers. Mm-hmm. Switzerland won in 2024 with Nemo's The Code.
Yes.
Which kind of like went from, which released first as a music video and everyone was like kind of mid on it until they released a wee clip of themselves transitioning from the like Swiss guy, non-binary, doing rap, then going to high operatic notes, and everyone was like, oh, that's actually very impressive.
Yes. I remember that song working since it leaned a little more into pop, but you could tell he had the opera chops instead of just like busting out the you know, the glass shattering note at the end.
Yeah, know? Which I think is what's kind of being missed by some of these other performances. The year after, what won was Austria's JJ's Wasted Love, which did like your kind of classic techno in the Berlin style with high operatic notes. That was, again, only really impressive live.
Yes. I mean, that yeah. I'm just thinking about the fucking alien opera from the spaceship on Fifth Element. You know that scene? Like that song would kill at Eurovision.
What, you mean French Star Wars? Yes. Yes, yeah. European Star Wars. Yeah, so you got that. And like, I do want to stress, this is quite separate from... Popper is maybe the wrong word, because Popper has been at Eurovision before. Popper has been kind of like a grandmother genre in mm-hmm. Europe, and I think in probably like certain demographics of like Italian Americans, of like, we've got four nice boys in tuxedos,
yes,
doing kind of like, oh, you know, like very deep operatic stuff. That has happened at Eurovision before. This is yes. kind of something different.
I mean, I assume that that is the same thing that like birthed the what we got in America as the surprising super trend of the three tenors.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Sometimes that stuff hits in America, you know?
That's absolutely fair. Like, grandmother is everywhere. Universal, I think.
They just like the nice boys. I mean, yeah. We can skip around a little bit, but that's kind of what I wrote about Portugal. Which is five nice boys singing what appears to be a kind of contemporarized Portuguese traditional song, to which I think I wrote, and I mean this in the most sympathetic way, does Portugal have a pop culture? Because I feel like every time I've done this, they have sent something that is mostly a traditional piece.
So, Portugal. So... Do you know how Mexico has a cuisine that's very spicy? And yes. then everyone kind of assumes that the rest of Latin America is like that. But then like yeah. Argentinian food is actually quite mild and stuff like yes. that. It's just like, yeah. So Brazil is fun. Portugal is a downer. Like, Portugal has always been, the joke of Portugal has always just been like, it's a depressed version of Spain. So, like, yeah, it's not surprising that they always send just, like... Because last year they had a song of just, like, three guys with guitars, kind of contemporary band, talking about, like, I'm from Madeira in the middle of the Atlantic, and there's, like, no work here, and I hate that I have to leave.
I mean, I'm not laughing at there being no work, but that does sound very sad sack for the,
absolutely.
For the proceedings of Eurovision.
And then this song is called like La Rosa, and at the end of it, the singer comes out with a rose. Really, really hitting. No translation barriers here with this song, I guess. Yeah. I think it's just about like lost love, unrequited love. Sure. But yeah, Portugal's always been just kind of dour. Yeah.
Well, that's what I got from them. But yeah, that yeah. they fit under the four nice boys singing a nice song.
Oh, yeah. I've explained my fuckable grandson theory to you before, right? Yeah,
yes, I think we've talked about this. Is yeah. that like that's the that's the kind of ideal one of the ways that you can be popular in Eurovision is appealing to that grandma demographic.
Appealing, trying to strike the balance between the grandmother demographic and the like ironic, mostly gay demographic.
Yes.
They're leaning grandson.
I have a kind of an American style corollary to this, which is why look, I think that it has been so hard for there to be a female late night host in America. You know how we have this like culture of these little late night shows, and yeah. three of them are like handsome, gently funny white boys named Jim, you know. Because and I my casual theory about this is that what you really want from the American late night host is your mom's boyfriend, and I think that older but not actually old, like, you know, mom of a 20 to 30 something. Like, mm-hmm. that is the person who's most likely to tune in every night for those late night shows. And you want somebody who is non-threateningly attractive and charmingly funny to a somewhat older woman demographic that they can call up and say, did you see what my boyfriend said on late night last night? You know? So
yes.
that's kind of my internal like thought process there of why all the late night hosts are so demographically similar.
Yeah, I can see this. I think it's kind of like we're approaching the same thing but from different angles.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. So, do we want to go through the rest alphabetically?
Yeah, let's knock some of these out.
Okay. The alphabet, let me just grab the alphabetical list of songs so I could yeah, okay. Albania's up first.
Yes.
This is Nan, I believe is the name of the song.
Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce that. By Elise.
My first impression was kind of a Sam Smith thing. This seemed like kind of maybe an echo or inspired by how big like Unholy was a few years ago. But then it also has, it's like very dramatic and sparse. And then it kind of shifts into what I would politely, or what I think of it as the desert wailing kind of
yes
type thing. Yeah.
Albania really tries to convince you it's in a more arid climate than it is. I think it gets away with that because it's like, well, we're Muslim and we're singing to a predominantly Christian audience. They just think we're all desert dwellers.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Okay. I see that.
Yeah.
They kind of want to lean into the orientalist vibe and
yes.
maybe pick up more of that. You know, you're thinking of at least Western, Eastern Turkey.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Central Turkey at best. Like, yeah. It's, did I ever tell you this piece of lore? Because it came up again recently. So they're one of the countries that do national selections. They have a TV show. It's on around Christmas time because they don't do Christmas. Festivale Ikengis or something like that. A song festival. One of the people who threw their hat in the ring for that and didn't win, I believe was last year, was Eric Adams' son.
Eric Adams, now
yeah.
America's first Albanian mayor of New York.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much goofy lore with Eric Adams that picture of him accepting Albanian citizenship came across my transom, and that was just another thing that I just kind of nodded at and was like, yep, sure, sounds about right. Which is to say, I am not, despite being a resident of New York City for many, many years, not any longer, you know, mm-hmm. but I've lived under the Adams Imperium for at least a few years.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the connection between the Adamses is and Albania is.
His rapping son was there for a while. Released a whole album about his time in Albania in English. I don't know if at any point they've shown, either Adams have shown proficiency in Albanian. It's a hard language. But it came across my radar a year ago because while I was paying attention to Eurovision season, one of the things that came across was like an Instagram story from Eric Adams of him watching the Albanian national selection from like his hotel room.
I mean, that rocks. If Eric Adams' son had been the Albanian contestant in Eurovision, I think that would have, honestly, I think that could have done more to break Eurovision through to a certain segment of incredibly online Americans than just about anything else.
Oh, absolutely. Next, you've got Armenia, Paluma Rumba by Simon.
I quite enjoyed this song.
Mm.
I found it to be a look. Am I profiling him a little bit? Yes, but I can't imagine this isn't the case, that there was a bit of Serge Tankian, System of a Down influence in this guy's singing and kind of presentation, but also has that kind of, you know, LMFAO or maybe even Psy edge to him. I thought it was funny. I thought it was catchy. This is one of the ones that I bolded as a fave.
This is, I think, probably the one that grabbed my attention most this year. I enjoy it a lot, and I think it is very fair to say there's a Serge Tankian influence because as someone who has watched the Armenian national selection before, looking at into the like studio audience, it really is a case of like, oh, every Armenian really took the Kardashian look and ran with it.
Okay.
I think they're big supporters of like the Armenian diaspora getting any kind of notoriety. So mm-hmm. like they're just like, yeah, we'll
and I know that
was that worked for them, we'll do it.
Yeah, and I know that Serge has been involved in like Armenian music culture and cultural promotion. I know.
Oh yeah, he didn't like he's not someone who's like fucked off and never gets back.
Armenianness is very important to him. So
yeah,
I mean, this I'm trying to follow the fun here, and this was a lot of fun.
It is fun. Next, we've got Delta Gudrum Eclipse representing Australia.
I guess like a competent house music inflected ballad, but really forgettable. This passed through me.
Yeah.
Australia should get the King Gizzard guys to not to submit the song, but to produce the a song for them.
Yeah.
From one of their artists to give it a little bit of their like very palatable psych rock edge.
Oh, absolutely. I think another thing that came across my radar recently was just like a Australian song, which is just hard style, like hitting of the four on the floor, just really aggressive. The kind of stuff that I'd only usually see from a Dutch musician. But the song was called "I Love Stealing from Woolies." I love stealing from Woolies. I do it every single day, and I'm like, "Yeah, send that to Eurovision." That's what I want to say.
That's great. Speaking of hardstyle and the Dutch, my wife and I did just see that guy Joost play, repping Dutch hardstyle very, very hard, and it was fantastic. That guy is a big goofball, but he gives a great show, and he makes a strong argument for the for Dutch techno music.
Oh yeah, yeah, Gabber, absolutely.
Yeah,
a proud tradition of these people.
Yeah.
Next, we have. I fucking hate this. So the Austria, Cosmo, with the song "Tanzschein," or the German for "License to Dance."
I mean, I didn't hate this. I thought it had a little bit of like that kind of cool, like maybe like a Fugia in Miami style, you know, dance rock vibe. And then when it shifts into the chorus, very much like now is the time in Sprockets when we dance.
Yes, yeah.
And you know, again, I love seeing the Austria like a country live up to its stereotype. So this charmed me.
The one thing I want to note about this is so it's good practice. You don't want to win the competition 2 years in a row. That's when you start like losing money. That's what happened to Ireland in the 90s. So you never really want to send like a banger the following year. But I think this will be the first time I've ever witnessed winning, coming first the year previous, and then probably dead last the following year.
Really? This one has zero heat?
From what I can tell, I think a real contender for being last on the actual evening. So that's automatically through to the final.
That's interesting because for me, this is by far not the worst of these songs. Again, the biggest sin for these Eurovision songs is being boring, which a number of these are. And at least this has a beat and switches it up. It has an Austrian guy like intoning in this voice, you know?
That
I find that entertaining.
That is charming.
Yeah.
We already talked about Azerbaijan's
boring, worse than the Austria song.
We've got Belgium, Elsia with "Dancing on the Ice."
Yes, okay. I like this one because it was pulling from some influences I don't think I had seen pulled from quite before, which is kind of more of a like a Lorde or Billie Eilish thing.
Sure.
You know, like kind of more of the mysterious ethereal pop star rather than like the brassy diva. I thought the lyrics were kind of stupid, but you know, or honestly, another thing that I pointed out that I will pick up later is even like a Lady Gaga influence, which seems like it should be a big Eurovision pool, but I don't see that much influence from. So I don't know. I thought that this sounded a little more contemporary, but still, you know, like all Eurovision stuff, at least to my ears, kind of still 5 or 6 years behind.
That's fair. It's interesting you bring up Billie Eilish, because this next song, I want to shout out the country. Bulgaria, which is coming back to the competition, one of the things the EBU did after losing five countries, some relatively heavy hitters, is they scrambled to get back a bunch of countries who haven't participated in a handful of years, one of which is Bulgaria. Last time Bulgaria participated, they did like a very Billie Eilish thing, and it was like contemporary to like Bad Guys being like a big hit.
Yeah,
for Bad Guy,
a song I really like. I wish Billie Eilish made more Bad Guys. She has been too soft and boring for me since that song.
That's fair. But next up we've got Bulgaria, Dara with Bangaranga.
This was another song that I quite enjoyed.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a real real song for the hot girls is all I can say. Yes.
I mean, I could very much... It has a little bit of that that Major Lazer-ish breakdown. It has a little bit of, you know, maybe ripping off MIA a little bit, but that's fine. I could imagine hearing this in a Bulgarian club. And I have to also say, this Bulgarian chick, may I say respectfully, Awuga.
Awuga, a word in the same category possibly as Bangaranga.
Bangaranga, yes. And if Awuga means something offensive in Bulgarian, I'm very sorry.
Oh, hang on. Did you ever see that Bulgarian tourism campaign? Probably not. The Bulgaria where no means yes.
Oh, God, no.
Said with complete sincerity, off the basis of the very interesting cultural difference that shaking your head in Bulgaria is the symbol for yes.
I mean, I can kind of see where they're going for, being like, oh, you know, there's so many experiences, you know, you can, yeah.
It's a real, I've learned English from a textbook and don't have any real experience with it.
Yes. The one thing I know about Bulgaria is some friends of mine were invited to a Bulgarian wedding and said that they have never feared for their lives more on the road than driving in Bulgaria.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the wedding, because is Bulgaria in the list of Balkan countries that just shoot guns in the air to the rhythm of music?
I don't know if they had gun shooting at the wedding, but they did say it was on like a... airstrip and in a hangar.
Oh yeah.
But comma parentheses fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you'll have the greatest time ever at a Balkan wedding, but like fair enough.
And hopefully they played a bunch of songs like this at that Bulgarian wedding. This song would go hard at a Bulgarian wedding reception.
The last time I was in Bulgaria, wasn't there for very long, but they were playing music of this like caliber and energy at like the cafe at 7 a.m. in the morning, getting a coffee. Yeah. Great country. Anyway, next up we've got Croatia, Andromeda by Lelek.
Yeah, sorry, my notes are out of order because I apparently can't alphabetize correctly. Oh yes, this song. What the hell is this? I think I wrote that this is like trailer. This isn't really a pop song. This is like a trailer music for like a movie trailer.
Video game soundtrack. It's something. It's a sound badge that exists to not grab your full attention.
Yeah, it's like maybe, if you had Enya score a very violent video game. Also, I found the music video very off-putting.
Yeah, so I don't know if you had the same reaction, but I discussed in the last episode with my co-host Nick of we put this in the category of a Slavic nation's getting a little druidic with this.
Yes.
Let me just Google this real quick.
Yes. They've got like the druidic face markings on, and I do just need to quickly cross-reference perhaps paramilitary groups have ever used those same symbols.
It's again, I think we described it as, oh man, I found a really good new black metal band.
Yes.
I should probably Google them.
Need to look up, instantly pull up their Wikipedia page and Control F political affiliations.
Control F murder. Yeah. Far as I understand, it's all fine. It's all above board. Yeah, it's all kosher. Yeah. But
the vibes are not good.
It's reminding me of things that aren't kosher.
And you need to have, like, if you're going to do something like this, have at least a strong hook or something. Mm. It's just like this never really evolved into anything.
No. A real song that would get completely fucked by, like, running order.
Yes.
Yeah. Next, we have Cypress, Antigone with Jala.
My first thought was Cypriot Shakira.
Yeah.
And there is a sense that, at least for me, this is very much like boss needs you to produce a pop song or video for his daughter type thing. But I still found it kind of charming, and I'm kind of a sucker for like regional music inflected standard pop diva like songs. I felt like this had a little bit of that K-pop influence, and I found the video it had some nice little flourishes to it. So,
oh, enjoyable watch. I originally watched through all of the songs with my daughter, and this got my daughter's seal of approval.
Okay,
because I think that was the most oranges she'd ever seen in one place. That was a huge thing for her. Cypress. What did they send last year? I don't even remember. Year before, they sent the overly sexualized 16-year-old. Okay. Yeah, but that is in line, and this is in line with what Cypress does. Cypress does send a lot of divas, usually. It seems to be the thing they think they are known for or can produce. There's a million Cypriot Shakiras with those with eyes to see kind of thing.
But probably ultimately fairly skippable for me. But I didn't have negative feelings to this.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Next, we've got the Czech Republic with Daniel Žižka's Crossroads.
Now, would you call this popera?
No, I don't think I would.
Because, you know, I found it fairly dull, but he does kind of explode into a impressive vocal performance at the very end.
It also
I don't know if you guys had this, but it felt like the vibe of like a promo video or something somebody would have made at the height of the It Gets Better movement. Do you know this?
I know of it, yes.
Yeah. It would be like just sad boy in room being like, no, you will survive. You will survive.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think the feeling there is, or certainly what I kind of felt from it, is I think a very relatable feeling. I think a lot of people go through this when they're teenagers, but thinking that while you're a teenager, your life is going to end at like 21.
Yeah.
Like everything happening to you is so significant right now, but really, yeah, God willing, you've got like a good 60 to 70 years left of your life. So you're going to try buying a house. Like it's going to be bad.
But no, like everything that happens is either the most joy or most misery that you will ever feel. Yeah.
This I'd put into the category of your, an overused word in Eurovision kind of analysis, but one that I still find handy. It's a generic ballad. And one that doesn't grab a lot of attention. Maybe he can do something on stage with that voice, but
yeah,
it's hard to tell when it's just the music video. So
pretty mid. Not, you know, leaning towards the boring end for me, which is again my cardinal sin for these things.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess this guy's got quote unquote talent.
Next we've got Denmark, Søren Tuppegaard Lund with For Vi Gar Hjem. What do we think of Denmark this year?
I mean, basically the same thing as I think of that Czech song. I mean, dramatic boy pop.
Yeah, that's fair. So I've got some things to say about Denmark, unfortunately.
Okay.
First is people talk about like the powerhouse that is the Nordics in this competition, but Denmark has always been the runt.
Yes.
They're oft forgotten about, and not very good. This is set to do quite well. Probably okay. come first in the semifinal that it's in. Probably not win overall, but still. Which is, I think getting out of the semifinals is considered good enough for Denmark, so they're happy with that. That being said, there was a wee crisis in what remains of the Eurovision fan community, because when he was watching Melodifestivalen, Festivalen, which is the Swedish bonanza of national selection, he just took a photo of him watching it on his laptop.
Uh-huh.
And then beside his trackpad was the Run DMC Fuck Hamas sticker and the Am Yisrael Chai sticker on the other side.
Okay, so this is the surprise, non-Israeli Zionist. Okay, there's a twist. So, I mean, all right. Well, this takes my already mid opinion of this down a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I can see. Would you tell me the stuff that is set to do quite well? I'm always surprised because it's usually stuff that I find, where the best I could say about it is it's inoffensive, But this certainly didn't stick out to me in any specific way.
It's currently third favorite with the bookies at the moment.
The bookies,
yeah.
Now, how is the rise of Kalshi and Polymarket doing on the Eurovision betting community?
Luckily, I think Kalshi and Polymarket has been kind of more seen as maybe this is the circles I run in. But on a Eurovision side of things, or a European side of things, it's one of the kind of circus attractions in the downfall of America that we're kind of looking at.
As you should. It feels that way. It feels that way here. I mean, even as we are unable to prevent prediction markets and betting on literally every aspect of every part of American society being slowly casinoized.
Yeah.
As you just, go to your local grocer and suddenly you see now partnered with Kalshi, so you can bet on bread prices for the next week. As I'm comparing avocados and just thinking, seems bad.
Yeah.
But guess there's nothing I can do about it right now.
No, we get it in those kind of news roundups of Europe's got 3 weeks of jet fuel left. There's prediction markets in America now. That's kind of weird.
Now Americans can now gamble on whether their health insurers will deny their coverage.
Yeah, and then the third item will be there's been a 900% increase in American refugees to Ireland. I'm like, huh. Okay.
Yeah. Ireland's gonna need to start rethinking that if you have whatever it is, 1/8 Irish ancestry, you can immediately get citizenship.
I think we're going on the gamble that the worst Americans come here as tourists and probably the decent Americans come here as refugees.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're kind of threading the needle.
Both my wife and I have grandparents with the last name O'Brien. Maybe we'll be knocking on your door sometime soon.
Absolutely. We give away these things like candy. It's fine.
All right, screw this guy. I hope he loses.
After Denmark, we have Estonia.
I was prepared to laugh this song to completely dismiss it with the name Vanilla Ninja, too epic to be true.
Right.
That sounds like a joke, but I found this pretty fun, competent, an 80s synth pastiche with some more Kelly Clarkson-ish edge.
So for me, yes. So 100%, I was on the same emotional roller coaster of Elon Musk named the song.
Yes.
This is going to be fucking weird. But then actually the song is just not as bad as the title.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me, I think the first thing I thought of was I could see this being a B-side or somewhere buried in the back catalog of Four Non-Blondes.
Yes.
Yeah.
If somebody had done a Euro remix of a Four Non-Blondes song in 1997 or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
Not terrible. In the grand sense of things, it's probably not set to do well, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, if if the name was a little less goofy, this could be potentially a like a real song that you might hear on a radio. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
But they did not do themselves any favor with the name of the band or the song.
You got to do I think you got to do like one of those like bracket things.
Yeah.
Where it's like I'm blue brackets dabity bad die or whatever, or acronym.
Yeah. If it was called like TETBT.
Yeah. And everyone would be like, what's this? I don't know.
Yeah.
Next we've got Finland, Liikenheiten by Linda Lampinus and Pete Parkkonen. This was the kind of like big kind of song, woman with a violin. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on this one, actually. I'm gonna shut myself
up. I'm just choosing to believe that this guy is like Finnish Mark Anthony. Like, is he like a huge like Finnish ballad sex symbol? And then I guess my second thought is epic violin. Like, you gotta really be impressing me on the violin to have the spotlighted epic violin, you know, as like your one of your main selling points.
Yeah. I'm looking at the translated lyrics for the first time ever. Song's called Flamethrower.
Okay.
Okay. I can immediately glancing at this. It's about being in a kind of toxic relationship that you kind of like refuse to leave because that woman is just so hot.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This didn't impress me much, especially coming from some of the more hype Finnish stuff that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, when people talk about the Nordics being good, what they mean is Sweden and Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, we've got France, Monroe with Rad.
France, why is France always so boring? France has produced, you've given us Justice, you've given us DJ Snake. Throw something with a little bit of sauce on it. They seem like just absolutely committed to pursuing quote-unquote class for everything, and all of these songs always suck.
Yeah, so France is in this weird position where the thing France is trying to do is get more French people to watch. That's their main goal at the moment.
Uh-huh.
The second thing that I find super interesting is in 2021, they sent like a Celtic folk techno band that
sounds
were
great. Yeah, tell me more.
Singing entirely in Breton.
Okay.
Which is weird because I was like listening to it being like, it's kind of like Irish, but with like a French accent. It's weird. Strange. I don't. Their word for devil is like identical. And anyway. So all of that was like happening. And it was that sauce. It was like they're all in leather. They were smacking huge drums. They were like chanting.
Singing in an indigenous French language. Yeah. This sounds like something that would really turn me on.
A minority French language was a huge deal because if you try to like name your kid a minority French language name in France, like the police crack down your door and be like, no, no, no. The Napoleon concept of the state. Everyone must speak like Langdeal. It was huge. They got punished for it though. It did so bad. I was yelling at the screen being like, no, it's good. This is, you hate seeing a country be punished for doing like the right thing, even if it wasn't.
Or even just like taking a fun risk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other issue that you have here with the like French like desire to always send like chanson is the European continent eat that shit up of like, this is what we think of you. Sing your lovely little ballads about how sad it is to cheat on your wife.
Yes.
We will nom.
I mean, again, I am a Marifat. I love Berger and synth and guitar solos. So like, you know, my taste is not exactly what the taste of whatever, like a 60-year-old Romanian woman might be.
I think it's just appealing to like all the Western Europeans who have like a slightly fond memory of sitting at a Parisian cafe once.
Yes.
And all the Eastern Europeans desire to live in France full time.
Yeah. I mean, I know, then at least like give me like, I don't know, like a cigarette soaked. I know he's a Belgian, but you know, like a Jacques Brel, contemporary, like Jacques Brel type,
yeah,
you know, like powerful crooner. I just found this very, I know, again, like maybe some of that opera influenced stuff.
Oh, this is a huge example of that.
But I found it just thin and unengaging and not much going on in the production. And
yeah, I would sell it, like the thing I would celebrate about it is that they've at least taken the kind of like popera trend that is happening in Eurovision at the moment and put their own like French twist on it, at least, rather than just copying.
Again, go back to the opera scene from Fifth Element. What's his name? Cracked that for you 30 years ago.
But yeah, I would like for them to do more actual contemporary, like the kind of like the rap that comes out of Marseille is really popular in a lot of Europe as well. So it's
I'm sure they've got some crazy stuff brewing there.
Absolutely, it's France. Nothing comes in, nothing gets out. culturally,
but then you let it all stew in the pressure cooker and make something cool and new.
Next, we've got Georgia on replay by Bizkepi. I can't pronounce Georgian words. I'm sorry, but yeah, relatively mid. Yeah.
Upbeat at least, but yeah, very like knockoff 2012 type, you know, electro pop song.
Yeah. In a similar thing, what I've officially called Germany's application form to the global Latino belt, we've got Sarah Engels with Fire. It's a botched application, but it's an application nonetheless.
Yes, I mean, perhaps Cyprus can produce a Shakira, but I'm not sure that Germany can. And honestly, I was incredibly disappointed that this song was in English. One of the things that I'm tuning into this for is listening to people sing in German.
Yeah. God, when did they... Jeez, when was the last time? No, they haven't done that in years, I don't think. We're only now coming back to the idea of, like, it used to be a rule, you had to sing in a language that was like native to your country, which gave, was it like Luxembourg and Ireland an unfair advantage? Because they both, like, Luxembourg speaks French, we speak English, and we had like a language everyone could understand. But then, like,
as a sort of aside here, am I correct in noticing a lot of songs, a lot of nations singing in Spanish? I'm trying to think, like maybe like Lithuania or something. A bunch of non-Spanish countries using Spanish lyrics in it, so, in their songs.
I have a lot of family in Spain, and they'll talk about like when they first moved to Spain, all the songs that the teens were listening to, all the songs on the radio and stuff, entirely in English.
Mm-hmm.
And since like reggaeton and stuff, there's just been this huge Spanish language music kind of like renaissance thing that I believe has also spread to the rest of the continent. I think is it her name Rosario? Her newest album?
Rosalia.
Rosalia, yes. Sorry, yes. Rosalia's newest album just like hit the continent like a nuclear bomb. Like I think everyone from like Vilnius to even dour Lisbon is vibing with
the Rosalia album.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not surprising that there's a little bit of like one of the most popular song from Cyprus was called like ever in like the last 10 years, most votes they ever got was called Fuego.
Yes.
Like there's yeah.
Well, entire country Spanish second language is coming for all of you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny how those things happen. Like, you know, for a bit, it was, you know, French was the global second language. Oh, yeah. You know, we've been living in the English second language century. It seems like, you know, Chinese might be the next one, but maybe in 100 years, the whole country is just going to be speaking, the whole world's just going to be speaking Spanish for some reason.
I think going back to what we were talking about earlier with Spain and China getting on like a house on fire, I think they're kind of like ushering it in.
Yeah, the Spanish-Chinese hybrid.
Yeah. That's your Firefly, Josh Whedon Firefly setting.
Yes, exactly. global Beijing, Mexico City.
Oh, can you imagine the food, though?
I know. That sounds great.
Next on our list, we've got Greece, Aquilas with Ferto.
Now. This was my favorite.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
This guy rocks. I've already invoked Psy for one of our other guys, but this guy seemed like Greek Psy.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this song is about, but I love this guy's attitude. I think that the production is great. It's really catchy. He's funny. The video with all like the 8-bit video game effects, I thought really worked. I don't know anything else about him, but yeah, this is the one that gets my number one vote with a bullet.
Yeah. So I think the thing that I enjoy probably the most about it is, for me, is that Hoover synth.
Yes.
That kind of like 90s UK rave kind of sound in it.
Yes.
So good.
Ferto, and then he busts out the bazooki. Again, you throw in the regional instrumentation on these things, like I'm clapping like a seal.
Yes, absolutely. So Mari Zati, who was in the contest 2 years ago, has also kind of like changed the game. She represented Greece. She was like Anti Fantano is one of the top EPs of the year or something like that. She cleverly released her EP on the day of Eurovision, the Eurovision she was in, just when she had like the most eyes on her kind of thing. And I think that's really kind of like upped the estimations and understanding of what kind of music can go into Eurovision for the average Greek person. Ferto is apparently the Greek word for kind of like bring it or bring it on.
Okay.
And in the theme of the video, like the video game where he's always dying, he's just talking about the various shitty things in life. And he's just like, fuck it, bring it on.
Great. Well,
yeah,
I think this is great. I think Stav should bring this guy on tour. I think he can pop off in America if he's got more stuff like this. With a little assistance of the most prominent Greek American we have. I really enjoyed this one.
The elephant in the room, Israel.
I mean, I don't even really want to talk about this one. Yeah. The song is boring. It's forgettable. It's mid. Who cares? In some of the other ones, like if there's like a story of like, oh, this is a repurposed, like, why is everybody mad at us song or something like that. But I don't even see that here.
No, actually, this is the first time since October 7th where the song isn't like explicitly about that. Although I will remark on it again. I will put this into my grand theory that Israel has just completely abandoned the pink washing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Since October 7th, their entries into Eurovision have gotten aggressively straight.
Interesting.
Yeah, when once upon a time they did use Eurovision as the kind of like
highlight like the art of their gay community or whatever.
And now they participate in Eurovision while their weird SNL equivalent calls it gay and bad and supporting Hamas or something.
You know, there we both produce, you know, these media projects that go over this endlessly, but it, you know, This is, it's untenable. Like, so something has to break here, and you know what that is potentially horrifying to think about. But you know, you can't exist in this contradiction forever. You know,
no, it feels,
and it everybody feels knows strong. It. Yeah,
yeah, oh yeah. It feels aggressively like cornered bear.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have to like be in the same room, and everybody has to like smile and clap when their guy goes on.
No, they don't. This is the thing, they don't smile and clap. They usually boo, and then the producers of Eurovision up the fader that says cheer.wav on it or whatever.
Anyway, we can move on
to Italy, Per Sempre Si by Sal Da Vinci.
I mean, my thought on this was, this is very much what I want from Italy. But this disco, not Italo enough.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. this disco to Anglo.
Yes, truly. I mean, it's got, you know, a romantic disco ballad. Great. Sounds like something that I would like from Italy. But yeah, it just doesn't have their traditional house styles. They should have gotten. Do you know the Mind Enterprises guys?
Yes.
The TikTok guys are doing Italo with the Campari and stuff.
Oh yeah, the sign of what was, I think, written up in the news as the symbol of European resistance to Donald Trump.
Yes, sure. Okay, well, that might be overselling them a bit. They've got a good vibe and they've got a good live show.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been the submission, but they should have produced this, you know?
Mm, or at least have them in the background.
Yeah.
Like making the music that he's singing.
Yeah.
The only thing I remark upon is, like, this is how Berlusconi got a start. He, like, did music like this on cruise ships in Italy after the war.
Wow.
Yeah. So, a fine tradition. So
keep your eye on this guy. I mean, also props for having literally being named Da Vinci.
I need to look into that. That's a stage name or not. I'm like, okay, are Italians still called Da Vinci? Next we got Latvia, Enyas with Atvara's Enya.
Another ballad.
Yeah,
it's classy, some flourishes, but yeah, I'm not remembering this past when I listened to it.
No. Lithuania with Leon Cheka's or Tsetsa. Solo Quiero Más. This is your Spanish revival.
Yes, yes. Why are the Lithuanians submitting a song in Spanish? I don't know.
This is Lithuania's attempt to enter the global Latino belt.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I guess this guy might have a little bit of talent or compellingness to his vocal performance, but this was fairly, like, way too dramatic and heavy, and all the, like, him dressed as a robot stuff. I was like, stuff that didn't really stick with me.
Next, we've got Luxembourg, Ava Maria's Mother Nature.
This was one that I should have found boring, but there's just something about it that I found a little bit compelling. I think that this, even just something about this lady and her performance.
Mm.
And I assume that this is a song about how we're killing Earth. Or is this some kind of elaborate metaphor?
I'm going to have been digging my roots in mud. I don't know. And I'm reading the lyrics and I'm trying to understand anything, but it's literally just, I think it's just about, wasn't it cool when I ran around in the woods as a child?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a nostalgia song. Next we've got
not the worst.
Malta, Aiden's Bella.
You know, this has been just a run of, like, semi-boring ballads.
Yeah.
But this also is not the worst for me. I think that he, like, I appreciate how classic it is in that European style, and I like kind of the lush production of this song. You know, again, if you're going to do one of these, like, yearning Euro ballads from a romantic male figure, this is probably my preferred way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. This one's washed off my brain completely. Yeah. Mainly in favor of this one.
Yes. So now we're back out of this boring run.
The doldrums, yes. For what I can describe as a pop football chant. Moldova's Satoshi with the song Viva Moldova.
My first reaction was, oh shit, they got kneecap in Moldova? I feel like through the years we've done this, Moldova has always hit above its weight for me.
Yes.
And in a few different ways, but whatever they're delivering is always like, okay, Moldova.
Moldova goes into a category of countries, some of them are kind of bad company, of we don't have anything else. and that's their attitude to Eurovision. Like, so this category of countries that are in Eurovision, that's Moldova. They produced Epic Sax Guy. They've been very close to winning a lot of times. They're, but again, not big, not at all relevant in any sport. Eurovision, that's the only representation they get on the world stage. Ukraine is something similar. Mm-hmm. Only country to never not make it to the final. Their voting for their national selection is done on their like government everything app.
Okay.
So they take it very seriously. And unfortunately, in this category is also Israel. Yeah. But Moldova is the tiny country that could. I also talked to my Romanian friends, and they're just like, yeah, every musician in our country is just a Moldovan guy.
Interesting. Why Moldova to Romania? Actually, are they next to each other? Oh god,
they're neighbors. They speak the same language.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, anyway, I love this. This guy's got swag. This song is good and fun and funny. Also, a song that has not just Moldovan, English, Spanish. I think he says aloha at one point. This is a true like polyglottal like lingo slop. Anthem that I would love to cheer at a football game.
It football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Language has been marked as multilingual. Yes. Great.
Well, good luck to this guy. He would probably get my second vote behind the Greek feller.
Yeah. After that, we've got Montenegro, a Tamara Živković with Nova Zora. Another country that's been brought back from the Balkans after not being here for a year. And once upon a time, being contemporary, doing like a bro step song when the same year Skrillex released Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the ones where that I thought I could really feel that like K-pop influence. Even in just that every like 15 seconds, it has a new type of thing that it's doing. It gets points for weirdness for me. It's like from a soaring techno anthem to like demonic chanting bridges and then like a big bass EDM breakdown.
Yeah. No, it's good. I enjoy that. It's got a bit of drama and flair to it.
Yeah.
I've seen her perform this live as well, and she has some pipes. So I don't know. It should be good.
Now, you see her perform this live. Is there like a tour, or are there some like regional events where they get like a handful of these people?
Oh, yes. And those have also been disasters this year due to the bad vibes. Yeah, the London party is happening soon. One of the big ones historically was in Barcelona, but this year they're just like, nope.
Wow.
Yeah, they do. What are they called again? But also Montenegro has a national selection where they get them to perform live on television before they decide who. So, yeah. Next we've got Norway. It won Jonas Love with Yeah. What's your take on this?
Another one that I quite enjoy. I honestly feel like this guy seems like what Harry Styles kind of wants to be, but doesn't have the balls to actually go this far. And then like backed by the fake Hives. Yeah, it's like it's indie rock revival, but you know, make it gay and pop. And yeah. I thought it was fun.
Good. That's fair. I'm not sure if I have much to say. I don't have much to say on it. It seems like a fun song.
Yeah.
Poland, Pray by Alicia.
All right. I have some issues with this, which is this is like a Polish soul spiritual.
Yeah.
I think, you know. It takes a lot to pull off this kind of, honestly, like a spiritual ballad, and I don't know if I buy it from this totally competent Polish singer.
Yeah, from the Polish people that I have talked to about this, they're feeling a bit sad about it. My understanding is the national broadcaster has always been fairly corrupt. I think a year or two ago, they sent like the girlfriend to one of the like board members with a problematic age gap involved. Mm. And it's a shame because I think Poland makes some pretty decent modern music, particularly rap as well, that just does not like would not play well at Eurovision, unfortunately, even despite it being quite good.
I mean, I would love to hear Polish rap. I mean, she raps a bit on this too.
Yeah, there's also a bit with the staging where it's just like, all right, are you performing for Eurovision or are you performing for TikTok?
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's a little whack.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Alicia.
We've already talked about Portugal's Rosa by sorry, I keep forgetting this guy, the group's name. Bandidos do Cante. The
Song Bandits.
The Song Bandits. Adorable. Yeah.
I hope all their mothers are very proud of them.
I think they are. This one caused the dumbest controversy, but let's talk about Alexandra Capitanescu's Romania's entry, Choke Me.
Romanian Evanescence.
Yes.
I'm sure this would hit like hell if I was a goth Romanian 14-year-old girl. And then they throw in some electronic backbeats. I'm just happy that nu metal is alive and well in Romania.
Oh yeah, nu metal exists in small pockets across this continent. It never died here.
Oh, it's still alive and a thriving underground here in America as well.
Oh, good.
In the most European parts of America. The most Eastern European parts of America, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I believe the ever-influential Orthodox Church, which is very politically active in Romania, complained about this song being satanic, advising poor health things, people shouldn't be choked, etc.
Yeah, I mean, like, this... Watching this video, it seems like maybe they never got the controversy from the Nine Inch Nails closer video, and this is as close as they can get to something like that.
Oh, absolutely. And it is also just like, I love the genre of music that invites criticism from like the church, being like, no, you're making them more powerful. Stop.
But anyway, happy for them, like this one.
Next we have the very infamous Sen hit representing San Marino with...
Now you've told me that that San Marino is historically done a lot of extra national fuckery to get their entries to put together.
So what San Marino's internal selection is there's more people in this call than there is in San Marino. So San Marino is kind of like, oh, did you not do well in your national selection? Here's one last shot. You can go represent San Marino. And it does attract a lot of nutcases. As I once described San Marino's vibe of the competition, it is the musical equivalent of a public procurement scandal. Sen Hit is infamous, though. She represented San Marino before with a song she did called Adrenalina with Flo Rida.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So you've mentioned this before where they brought in Flo Rida as a ringer. I didn't know that this was the accomplice in that.
And that she's done it again. Have you seen who she's done it again with? Because a lot of the performances are just her by herself, but she's...
No. So I only saw the solo.
Mm-hmm. Boy George.
Interesting. I should look this up. I'm not even sure where Boy George would fit into this.
No, me neither, to be perfectly honest.
I wrote down that this felt like another Lady Gaga ripoff, which again I think is a good... I feel like that's an energy that you want to be bringing to something like this, but also needs some other twist to elevate it. Pretty forgettable.
Boy George,
I guess that's why you bring in Boy George.
Is we bring in Boy George. Also, one of the most famous musicians to sign the public letter saying that Israel should be allowed to participate in Eurovision.
Okay, so a mess.
Yeah, absolute mess.
Yeah. Well, a small country punching above its weight class in mess.
One of the money crime countries.
Yes.
Yeah. Next, we've got Serbia, Lavina's Cry Mene.
More like vampire pop. I appreciated the overt I'm evil energy. I liked singing into a giant sword. This seemed like it paired vibe-wise with the Romanian song, but, you know, not quite as good or memorable. But, you know,
no.
I appreciate the essays towards heavy metal pop in an Eastern European style.
Yes. Initially, I kind of listened to the song, like, without the video. I just kind of, like, got it on YouTube Music, and while I was walking the dogs, I was like, ah, it's all right. And I watched the music video, I was like, all right, he's singing into a sword. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, points. That's putting points on the board.
There's just, like, there's the version of me inside that's still wearing the No Fear t-shirt that's like, that's cool.
That's sick as hell, dude.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Serbia?
I have not. I've heard Belgrade is great.
See, this is what I was going to ask, because my wife, you know, it's going to be, we have a young baby. It's going to be a while before we get to do another European tour, European trip. But my wife is obsessed with the idea of visiting Belgrade, and I need to collect data points of is it worth a trip?
Belgrade, I've heard great things. I know a lot of people who've, like, moved there because it's, like, the cool kind of place to, like, slum it nowadays. Yeah, great vibes. Everyone in the Balkans, because I've been in almost every country in the Balkans bar Serbia, is just the friendliest person you'll meet.
Great.
Great part of the world. And go to a wedding where they shoot the guns in the sky.
Beautiful. I'll wait until I'm invited to a Serbian wedding.
Yeah. Make sure to get that kid's skull strength up before, like, bringing him to the gun wedding, possibly. I don't know. Anyway. Next, we've got Sweden, Felicia's My System.
I was watching the full length video. I was finding this pretty mid until the EDM breakdown, and then I was sold on it.
Oh yeah, that's exactly my experience with it as well. I saw her do the thing where the visual effects of her, like, climbs out of the fake frame they've made in the TV. I think I saw Shrek do that once on the internet.
That is definitely a thing that you can do in these live shows now. And it is, it's a subtle thing, because a lot of these songs have those EDM breakdowns. But if you really nail it, you've got to really nail it to make it work. And I think this one does. So
absolutely,
you know, it's always, you know, you always want to resist giving the Swedes credit for just delivering on this kind of stuff. But then they do.
Then they do. They unfortunately are very good at this. They'll do an insane stage thing, like all those lasers you're seeing on that live form. They're bringing those to Austria 100%. And also just, like, the small bonus points for me of, like, she got, like, beat down by her national broadcaster for saying in an interview that she doesn't think Israel should be there. So
great.
These are the
things that, you know, the points on the margin.
Yeah. She's one of the good ones. Switzerland. Veronica Fusaro's Alice.
Is this like Swiss Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, it's a little bit of, like,
and also the melody of this reminds me of something I can't place, but it's so familiar. That
there was something about,
you know, like whatever that song is.
Yeah. Was that Believer by Imagine Dragons?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Imagine Dragons, as you identified, I think, one or two years ago, a strain of Eurovision song.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. This does kind of remind me of, I think, a lot of 90s solo female musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Something that wouldn't have been out of place with, like, an Alanis Morissette, but maybe not her.
Does she actually play these instruments? I mean, she looks like she's doing it pretty competently on here, because that's always extra points if these performers can play their instruments.
As far as I know, she can, but she probably won't at the actual Eurovision.
Yeah. She also has, like, fairly unique style for female. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I got on this.
That's fair. Second last, we've got Ukraine. Leleka's, I keep wanting to say Rhythm, but it's not Rhythm. It's Rhythm.
Now, this would be better if it was a little Ukrainian Rhythm.
Rhythm,
I would love to watch a Ukrainian performer get a little Jamaican with it.
Absolutely. This is, I think I described it as disappointing for Ukraine.
Yeah.
Because they usually send something quite good.
Yes, I found this very forgettable. I mean, having seen the stuff that they've done before, I get what they're going for. This felt like very 1970s soft ballad. I'm sure this lady has a lot of talent and willing to give Ukraine a lot of sympathy for the whatever they're sending. But yeah, not doing much for me here.
Did you know their national selection for Eurovision is in a secret location every year? Because they have to hide it and move it every time. And
I mean, that's crazy. And yeah, good on them for continuing to do it and keep this institution up, which I know must mean a lot for the country and the morale of keeping your culture going despite everything.
Yeah.
But also pick a better song.
I think, yes, pick a better song. I think I just want to emphasize how much of a, like, again, to the American listeners, of like how much of this is a big deal.
Yeah.
When Ukraine,
you have to assume, like, you know, if one of the, like, you know, if the Dallas Cowboys were qualifying for the playoffs and they had to like hold the playoffs in a secret location to see if they qualify for the Super Bowl or something like that.
I the example I keep remembering is when Ukraine won in 2021 off the back of like a lot of sympathy votes. It was a decent song, but still a lot of sympathy votes. The band who won it, Kalush Orchestra, when they won, while they were on stage, Russia bombed their hometown. Like, and it was not on a predictive target list. It was not like strategically important. They just bombed the town that band was from. So it's like a thing over here, I guess. Yeah. I did watch Russia's new Eurovision that they
made. Well, let's talk about that at the very end.
Okay, yeah.
I would love to hear a quick report of evil Eurovision. Or I guess, maybe depending on how you think about it, more evil Eurovision.
Yeah.
Nega Eurovision. Eurovision from the Phantom Zone.
We can talk about the extended universe in a second, because last on our list is one that you actually already messaged me about.
Yes. This popped enough that I saw it just as a one-off news item. That hit a lot of interest for me.
United Kingdom's Look Mom No Computer, Ein Zwei Drei.
So this guy's a modular synth guy who is the performer composer. He does everything on his own consoles himself. I mean, as far as Eurovision goes, I love this. It's out of the box. I wish this song was a hair better. But you know, this is a genre that I'm into, very like dance punky, and all of his, you know, English jokes, like dipping the biscuit into the mug of beans at the beginning of this video.
Yeah, there's that real Eurovision thing that makes the chanson from France so popular, is just like lean into what the rest of the continent thinks of you.
I love the techno fetishism of the video and stuff, like his style. Love the jumpsuit. You know, it's corny, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm just very happy that a guy like this can get to this thing.
Me too. I think I'm gonna go with the same way I kind of felt about like the Breton song from France those years ago, of like I want the UK to be rewarded for going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Not
saying that the other people aren't like actual musicians, but having like a guy who's like, no, this is, I do this all. This is like, you know, I'm a one man band, and I am, you know, building a music career for myself outside of this, but you know, I'll throw my hat in to represent my country this year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm making some assumptions about some of these other people who are like more probably, you know, singers, you're getting a lot of songs written for them and are like trying to like, you know.
There's some people who would, maybe the divide would be, are using this as the opportunity to launch themselves, but don't maybe have like a back catalog to reach into.
Yeah.
Which Look Mom No Computer definitely does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like already a touring musician that has an audience and stuff like that.
Yes. The sad thing about this song, and I'll agree with the, I wish it was a hair better, is I saw it come up on my YouTube recommended, and just clicked on it, not realizing that I'd already been like watching some podcasts and already had it at 1.5 speed. And I was like, this rips. And then I slowed it down to the actual speed. I was like, oh, yeah. Just that little bit of like,
Yeah. 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 But good for him. Look, mom, no computer. Funny. Look,
yeah.
All right. So who's going to win?
Yeah. I want to actually first, who do you think is the favorite?
I mean, I have no capacity to guess here. Every time you tell me who's actually favored and who's actually going to come in last, you could, from my taste, be selecting completely randomly. You could have a 1-35 randomizer in front of you and just be telling me numbers off of that.
Yeah. So I will say, because of like Israel's consistent fuckery, I think they've also thrown off my assessment of what happens as well. For Israel to get a bunch of votes via the televote, which are not legitimate, that does sacrifice other people. Like last year, Australia had the milkshake song, which I thought was very fun, didn't get into the final. And I think that was a bit of a victim of Israel's fuckery. So it's also thrown off my assessment. The current Bucky favorite is Finland.
You know, if I was going to shoot in the dark and guess, I was kind of leaning towards that. But also I found that kind of a dud for me.
That's fair. Me too. I'm not like, I think it's good. I just don't think it's as good as like, I far more enjoy Ferto. I far more enjoy like, I think I even enjoy the Cypriot song more.
Yeah.
Of just like, it's fun.
Yeah. And even, I mean, I guess for like male led pop, I mean, I guess I like that more than that Danish song. Yeah, I don't know.
With France being second.
Okay, well, no accounting for European taste. Honestly, those three, like for me, those three would probably be my dead middle of my rankings of this stuff. Those would be a little bit like my 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I would probably rank France a little bit higher. But like, yeah, no, same.
Also, like, again, for my taste, every time I'm gonna go, like, my top five are always gonna be like the five hardest, wackiest, coolest. I mean, you know, again, the ones I've got highlighted are like Sweden, Moldova, Greece, Norway. And
Armenia.
That Armenian song. Yeah, that Armenian
yeah,
song.
Yeah. I think the unfortunate thing that might be happening is the audience that would have voted for or supported those songs are the ones that are being driven away by Israel's fuckery.
The fun, cool people?
Yeah. yeah. So it's really becoming like grandmothers watching it because.
Yeah. And then you want the sweet classic stuff. Yeah. I mean, I guess I get it.
I'm going to tell you a little bit of the extended universe stuff that's happening that I enjoyed. So
we got a little bit longer.
Excellent. Since we last spoke, I did watch Intervision, which was Russia's revival of their Soviet Union era Eurovision competitor.
Yes.
Which is complete bastardization of that tradition, because I believe that was started by Czechoslovakia. And also, cute little fact about that is they voted by the TV would tell you when to turn your light switches on and off. And they would measure, the power companies would measure the spike.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah, gotta hand it to the Soviets for the ingenuity of building their own parallel processes to for these kinds of cultural institutions.
It feels like the equivalent of like, oh, the, you know, NASA built the pen that works in space. The Soviets just use a pencil thing.
Yes, exactly.
So Intervision came back. It was this whole thing of like, it's open to the whole world. And we've got countries from all over the place. And it did some cool things like countries were in their, like, represented by their name, the name for the country in their own language.
Okay.
So like, yeah. So not Russia, Russia. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of like Middle Eastern, you know, Gulf countries that I struggle to think of what their musical culture would be. Like the UAE was there. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to ding whole societies of people, but when I think of like Gulf musical culture, I think of the worst of American and European mega DJs.
Yep.
God, that's also just reminding me the weird and bizarre fact that Avicii killed himself in Oman of all places.
Also just like aggressively political, it opened with a speech, a pre-recorded speech by Putin.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the first act played, they then cut to the green room where we get like another 10-minute long interview, and not even an interview, no back and forth, just letting him talk. Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister.
Where was this? Did you have to use like a VPN to watch this? Are you on a list for watching this now? How did you consume this content?
It's on YouTube. I watched it live with 8 other people, according to the YouTube counter.
I thought you said with you.
That would be
really
cooler.
You were really plugged into a community of Eurovision and Eurovision verse freaks over there.
It was weird. It was also meant to be like anti-woke. Mm-hmm. Everyone had to respect traditional values. And then the person who won it in the end, no voting, all juries. Person who won it in the end was like an already established like Vietnamese pop act who's gay. So,
well, yeah. Sometimes you just can't deny the raw talent. Talent overcomes even the best anti-DEI, gatekeeping. You know,
I watched it on like its own terms, and then like when the Chinese song played and the Vietnamese song played, I was like, this is just leagues better than everything else that has come before it. Had to reach out to like journalist friends I had working in China, being like, is anyone watching this? And they're like, there's like one thing on Chinese TikTok and it's got like 500 views, which is basically loser shit in China.
Yes, like, I can only imagine. Yeah, 500 views. I'm sure you can sneeze on Chinese TikTok and get 500 views.
Speaking of Asia, though, we are finally getting what has been promised for years, Eurovision Asia.
Is it called Eurovision Asia and not Asia Vision?
Asia Vision has already got a trademark on it, so it's called Eurovision Asia.
That's so amazing. We're finding so many new and exciting ways to reinvent colonialism for the 21st century. if only purely through branding operations.
Yeah,
I mean, this sounds great. I like, what is going on in Asian musical culture is so fascinating, and I find it, you know, especially how to say this I just like the interesting cultural flows of these kinds of capitalist market enterprises, where it's like America has essentially had South Korea as a, you know, essentially a vassal state for, decades and decades. And through that, you get these weird innovations of like Korean culture or Korean like foodstuffs. And suddenly, like, you could argue maybe Korea is now can do fried chicken better than America can. And you see like this insane cultural transmission of like the Swedes coming to America and inventing this hyper maximalist pop music that then gets exported out to Korea. And now they're doing it better than we ever have. If you consider the perfection of maximalist pop production is better, that's now exported back here. And now we have American K-pop bands in the form of like Cat's Eye and stuff, like all of these, market and political based cultural interactions and how they reverberate out to, I guess one might say, from the American perspective, the periphery, and then back to the metropole. I just find all of that very, very fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. So, like it's the cultural equivalent of like Ford and then like Toyota and Volkswagen.
Yes,
like,
exactly. Coming back. Exactly.
Yeah. I am desperately interested in that. Also, one that I want to do a whole Cornish Media episode on this. I'll never forgive the iPhone because Europe was about to pull it off again with cell phones, because we were like, oh, you've got your weird flip phones. This is a Nokia. You can hit it with like a mortar round and it will still be fine.
I loved my Nokia.
Yeah.
I was so all in on the Nokias. I had such beautiful Nokias. They were such a pleasure to hold. Yeah.
God,
if only whoever was in charge of Nokia had gotten to the touch screen slightly before.
If only the entire Finnish economy wasn't based around that one company and then it collapses and they all have to go make Angry Birds. Yeah, so Eurovision Asia, the first one will be in November in Bangkok, Thailand. We've got who are the participating countries?
Yeah, that's what I really want to know, because I know that there's like, again, I'm not super plugged in, but I know that there's like actual animosity in some of these places, especially around, you know, some of these issues of cultural transmission.
So this has been like in the works for years and years, and the one big logistical problem was the fact that like China wasn't willing to have it be actually live. Like a 30 or like I think like a 10-minute delay is what they always requested, so they can intervene if they had to, which the rest of the countries did not want to do and felt like it was in the spirit of the competition, blah blah blah. And yeah, there was open acknowledgement of like, if you get China, you can't get Taiwan. If you get Taiwan, you can't get China.
Yes.
Yeah. But the countries we have so far, they said that more will sign up before the November date. We've got 10 countries. Bangladesh, Bhutan,
okay,
Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, Nepal, Philippines, South Korea, Thailand, and Vietnam.
Okay. I mean, that's a start, but I'm going to need to see some Japan and South Korea in there.
South Korea's in there.
Oh, South Korea's in there. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
Japan,
South Korea is like
a big add to that.
Indonesia, I think, is another one they're trying to get.
Yeah. I mean, that would round out, I think, a strong first showing. But I want to see some Chinese participation in this. I need them to enter the world music stage. I'm always periodically like Googling like Chinese rock music or like Chinese punk to just see if there's anything. And they do have these scenes. There was actually a really good New York Times article, I think, about like Chinese underground punk, like Beijing's underground punk scene from a few years ago that I found really fascinating, and that it definitely exists and that there are punk teens just like any other place, but you have to be a little more wary of the actual government.
Yeah, there's I remember I've also like tuned into the more like poppy and especially like TV show based stuff that happens over there.
Yeah,
there was that guy that was like doing quite well. He was like Chinese Russian, and his whole thing was he was just like depressed, like it was his whole persona. And he was like, and like every time they'd get to like a vote for this round, he'd always take the mic and be like, "Please don't vote for me. I want to go home." And apparently it just became like this whole like meme of like so many 20 somethings in China just resonating with him. I love this guy. I love how depressed he is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing is I'm really rooting for China to join the world stage culturally in a bigger way, in the same way, again, that like, you know, K-pop has been able to be. And also before it, you know, I remember, you know, kids in my high school, some of the gothier girls were like obsessed with J-pop even as early as like 2001, 2002. I think all that stuff's really interesting. I would love to see, you know, China performs well at the Olympics. I want to see them perform well in these other things. I want to see a Chinese movie win an Academy Award, you know?
Yeah. I think from what I know from people that I know who are involved in this, the three countries they're trying to get, I think they think China is just like a complete pipe dream. It's not happening. But the three countries they're trying to get is Indonesia, because like Malaysia and Philippines, they have these huge multi-round season-long song competitions internally already.
Yeah.
I think one of the really famous established ones in the Philippines has agreed to be like the national selection for this.
Great.
The next big one, they want Japan. Mm-hmm. But like they're incredibly litigious about copyright, so it's like a huge problem. And I think another big powerhouse of music in the region, India.
Yes, I was also thinking about India.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that they're doing it, and I hope that it continues to grow, and I would love to tune in or at least watch all the entries.
I just
hopefully
need
if
one
they
of
can...
these where Israel's not involved.
Yeah, that would be a big help. And I think, like, hopefully if they can get it off the ground and keep it stable, you know, people, and hopefully if people can make a little money off of it, then, you know, it'll incentivize some other regional partners to maybe join in.
Absolutely.
And, like, the international population, I mean, it's incredibly good that they have South Korea in, because, you know, the international popularity of that music,
oh, yeah,
I think will instantly draw a international, probably, like, you know, also America having such a big active Asian diaspora. I mean, I assume this will get much more attention in America right off the bat than Eurovision, which, you know, our European diaspora tends to be fairly disconnected from their contemporaneous European.
Yeah. Well, because they were welcomed into Americanness in a way, though.
Exactly. And it happened at least 100 years ago.
Yes. Right. So that is Only Mr. God Knows episode 2. Thank you, Chris, as always.
Love doing
for your
this.
Annual
Love
opinions.
Dipping my toe into European pop culture. Thank you very much. I'm always around. And yeah, happy to be here.
Excellent. Where can people find you and your work?
I produce a little podcast called Chapo Trap House. That is my main thing right now. That is, I don't know, wherever you get podcasts, or patreon.com/ChapoTrapHouse. But, you know, because we're doing a music thing, I'll also plug this. I've been helping produce a new music magazine out of New York called Antics Mag. It is specifically a rock magazine. We're trying to cover, you know, up and coming rock acts, kind of the best of what's new. You know, our previous cover stars have been like Joyce Manor, Wednesday. Those have been two of our last ones. And yeah, it's hard putting out an independent magazine. It's a print magazine. You're not going to be able to find it anywhere in Europe, but you could certainly subscribe to it, and we'll mail you one for probably 30 pounds or whatever it takes to mail a magazine out there. But yeah, if you're interested in that at all, I want to support it. We're at anticsmag.com.
Hell yeah. There will be links to Antics Mag in the description. Check that out. I'm going to check that out. I didn't know that was happening.
Follow us on even more if you just, because we're trying to expand operations. Let me just pull up our Instagram account right now. It is, and if you just want to like follow us, yeah, we're Antics Mag Official on Instagram. Even just to follow on Instagram to boost our profile a little bit and get the word out that we exist and we do stuff helpful.
Perfect. And always, Only Mr. God Knows is an extended promotional project for getting you to come to Eurovision. Eurovision numero seis. We're doing it again. Our boycott-friendly Eurovision show will be in Berlin, 16th of May, Saturday, at 8 p.m., same time as the actual Eurovision, which you should not watch due to having a soul. Come on down. We'll get drinks. We'll get drunk. It'll be great. And you can buy tickets for that. All money goes to Heal Palestine. And with that, thank you, Chris.
Peace.
And we'll catch you next time. Ciao, ciao.